believe in ghosts?
Do you believe in ghosts?
Do you believe in ghosts?
Do you believe
in ghosts?
A few years ago, I was on a business trip to the States, and it involved driving from Denver to LA. Now, if you're unfamiliar with that, it's a long drive. I was getting pretty tired, so I decided to stop at a Holiday Inn hotel that I'd come across. I walked up to the front desk, rung the bell, and a man came out from the back room. He greeted me and he said his name was John Shelby. I told him I was looking for a room, so he searched his computer to see if he had one available. Fortunately for me, there was one room left. Shelby gave me the key and told me to have a nice night. On my way out of the lobby, I asked him to point me towards a vending machine as I was pretty hungry and needed a snack. On my way to the vending machine, I noticed a pool at the end of the hall. A lot of hotels have pools, so there's nothing strange about that. What I did find odd though was that the water was red.
Hotels are typically prone to hauntings, as they can generally be considered hubs of unsavory activity. There have been many instances of hauntings occurring as a result of accidental deaths or murders within hotels.
I went back to the front desk and Shelby was still standing around. What's up with the pool? I asked him. He looked pretty confused and asked me what I meant, so I explained that the water looked red. He took off his glasses, took a deep breath and looked me dead in the eye and said,
I must admit, I am getting a very, very eerie feeling, very... not comfortable. Don't like being up here on my own, to be perfectly honest with you. Which is not like me. Can you come forward and just tell me why you're here? Come forward. Can you knock on the wall or something for that? Just show me you're here. Can you make a noise? Earlier on, you made me go cold. Can you do that? Can you come near me and make me go cold again? If you want me to go, you'll have to make a noise, and I'll leave. We have to have a bigger noise than that.
So the morning visits turned into a pretty regular thing. Jake would wake up early, and he'd play with this imaginary person he calls Grandpa. I tried asking a few times about this figure. I said, "Who are you playing with, Jake?" He'd say, "Just Grandpa." And I'd say, "What does Grandpa look like?" And he said, "A man," and then he laughed at me like it was this big funny joke. One evening I said, "It's bath time now, Jacob. Grandpa says playtime's over." But Jacob looked away from me, and then he turned back and he said very seriously, "No, he doesn't. He says you're lying." So one night I woke to the sound of Jake singing a nursery rhyme, and it was around 2 a.m. So, as I'm walking through to his bedroom door, I say, "Jake, go back to sleep, it's late." But he was already fast asleep, so I went back to my room. And then an hour or so later, I heard this singing again. But again I went in, and he was asleep when I went in the room. And this really creeped me out, to be honest, so I decided to pick him up and bring him into my room to sleep for the rest of the night. I went back to my room, and I could hear this really faint child's laugh on the baby monitor. So I just turned it off and I ignored it.
There's one surefire way to know your house is haunted. Occurrences may be rare, but the appearance of full-bodied apparitions, such as catching the reflection of a person in the mirror, could mean that you are experiencing a haunting.
I went back to the front desk where a woman was now working and asked if John was still on shift and available. She gave me this confused look and said, "What?" Almost as if she was annoyed at me. "John Shelby," I repeated. "He was working last night." With a look of shock, the woman said, "Is this some kind of sick joke? John Shelby died back in 1982. He killed himself after murdering a woman in the hotel pool.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I just couldn't shake the idea that someone must know something, that a human being doesn't just vanish into thin air. He was smart, he wouldn't have just run away in the middle of the night in winter with no money. He hadn't taken anything with him, the only thing missing from his room was his PJs, which he was supposedly wearing. He wouldn't have lasted long in the freezing cold, in just pajamas and no shoes. They had thoroughly searched the local area and found no sign of footprints or anything that looked like there'd been a sign of struggle. So what could have possibly happened?
But the weirdest thing that happened was a few mornings later. So as per usual, I hear Jacob babbling and singing to himself, and I lay in bed for a little while just trying to summon up the energy to get up as it had been a pretty restless sleep the night before. As I was listening to him, he paused for a moment, and then I heard a man's voice, just a whisper.
"Let's get Mummy up, shall we?"
See, he had been a troubled child, but it hadn't been his fault. His mother had despised and resented him, he had been subject to horrific abuse at her hands, and his grandparents had stood there and did nothing. The horrific pictures he drew, depictions of what she did to him, inappropriate stories, tales of things she did and how he would like to do things to her, to get rid of her and escape her evil. Had he caused the accident? Yes. It was the only way to get rid of them forever. Was he going to do something terrible again, repeat the cycle of abuse? He didn't think so. He wanted and needed a fresh start, and it was just the beginning to settle into a normal life. But my parents were terrified of what he might do to me, so they took matters into their own hands. Now, unfortunately for me, he was going to make them pay in the only way he knew how. I walked blindly over to the open cellar door and felt a sharp push in my back. Which is where my parents found me an hour later, my head facing the wrong way, a frozen look of fear forever on my face. So the reason ghosts scare me so much, why I know they're real?
Do you believe in ghosts?
This message is to you by audio reports of unsolicited reports of unwanted reports of audio worn. Please report them to Audio Worn Podcast Services immediately.
So I was able to watch the film without paying much attention to the subtitles. That was until about two-thirds through the film when I began to notice child laughing, woman screaming. 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 Child laughing. After everything happened, I had 2 days off, and I spent those 2 days thinking about Ruth. Her daughter was alive, so clearly this is a decline in her mental stability. But what about my own? And since I worked the night shift, I really didn't check residence files unless there was a drastic change in cognition or a medical change. But I decided to check her file when I got back to see what her official diagnosis was. I'm not sure what I was expecting to find, just answers to who she was, I guess. I went into work early and cracked open her file and began reading. Everything seemed pretty normal as far as mental health goes. Like most of us, she had some issues with depression, and that's when I saw it. Ruth had been diagnosed with a major depressive disorder after she lost her daughter 22 years ago. There wasn't a picture attached, and I couldn't find anything in previous newspapers. This was before smartphones, so I couldn't Google Ruth's history on the spot, and I didn't even have the daughter's name or anything to do more sleuthing. But the girl I saw the previous night did appear to look just like Ruth's living daughter. I never walked into her room alone again after that night. Sometimes I walked by her room, I could hear someone else besides Ruth speaking, but I never looked into the room. I would just stand outside silently looking at the ground. I would radio my coworkers to check it out. Now, a bit more about Ruth. She was about 400 pounds and couldn't stand or walk because of it. Unfortunately, she had too many other health issues, one being a fractured leg, and she was never able to lose the weight. This meant she couldn't run from her daughter when she came into her room or even get out of bed. So there was one night where I heard Ruth screaming much more loudly than usual. My coworker and I sprinted to her room only to find Ruth on the opposite of the room, on the floor, still under her blankets. The guardrails in her bed were still up, so it was all very confusing, and she just kept muttering to herself, "Child laughing, woman screaming. Child laughing, woman screaming." Sheepishly climbed through the window into the basement. It was so old and dusty it made me cough as I caught my breath. I remember the moon being so bright that night, casting shadows into the room we were in. The three of us stood there in silence, petrified by the place, worried by the fact Drew was nowhere in sight. Standing there, we could hear a faint sound of footsteps, as if heading up the stairs and across the floor on the other side of the house, without missing a beat, as if there were multiple people upstairs. Drew had gone up there on his own, there could be anyone waiting for him, I thought, and this was enough to get the composure back in my legs and begin looking for him. Slowly, I ascended the stairs. Each step felt as though it creaked louder than the last. Of course, the other two voted I go first. With my heart racing, I peered around the corner expecting to see another small group of kids. But there was no one. "I definitely heard someone up here," I said to myself. "Me too," replied the other guys. We stood there for what felt like forever, contemplating our next move, until snapped out of it by a dull thud from the floor above. In fact, it was loud enough to make the three of us jump. "Drew?" I called out, instantly remembering he lost his voice and could not reply. Now, before I continue, I do have to be clear. Drew was the joker of the bunch, and he was probably getting some serious kicks over watching the three of us stand there terrified. Nevertheless, we continued upstairs. The house continued to creak and knock as if it were completely alive, but Drew was nowhere to be found. This was going beyond a joke now. We couldn't find Drew anywhere, but we all felt as if the presence of someone was there. After seemingly searching the whole house, we stood in the final room on the top floor. What now? Well, we should probably go, one of the guys suggested. You know, Drew will soon get bored of this prank if we aren't even here. I contemplated leaving, but was also rather concerned about it all. Now, it might sound crazy, but in that moment, the energy in that room seemed to turn. It just felt rather negative, and I know we all felt it because the same moment we looked at each other and said, we should probably go. Now, I'm positive there's someone in that room with us we couldn't see, but there's no way I could prove it.
As always, I hope you're thinking through it, if that was based in fact or a pure work of fiction.
In the front door, I showed, Mom, Dad, to which they rushed to meet me in the entry to the house. Almost welling up, I said, it's true, we lost him in the abandoned house. We couldn't find him. I don't know what to do. My parents exchanged deeply concerned but confused looks, and to my surprise, calmly told me to come inside so we can talk. Honey, I don't think that was Drew, my mom said, but before she could speak again, she paused and started to sob. Confused, I asked what was wrong. What does she mean? Now, I vividly remember my dad giving my mom a hug and taking over the conversation. Well, son, you see, we didn't want you to find out yet, but Drew passed away today from falling seriously ill.